for the Canadian Society of Physician Leaders, I'm Pat Rich, and this is Leading the Way, the podcast for and about physician leaders. On today's show, your host, Dr. Victor Dew, speaks with Dr. Preston Smith. Preston is Dean of Medicine at the University of Saskatchewan. He is also this year's winner of the CSPL's Chris Carruthers Excellence in Medical Leadership Award. Over to you, Victor.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Today, I'm super excited to be joined by Dr. Preston Smith. Dr. Smith is the Dean of the University of Saskatchewan College of Medicine, and he's been in that role since 2014. He's also the CSPL Excellence in Medical Leadership Award recipient this past year. I really appreciate you taking the time and for you to be here today, Preston.
Thank you, Victor. Really appreciate the opportunity to do another project, even if it's a small one, with you.
One of the things that I'll start off asking you about, and just for you to tell us about, is, you know, you've had opportunity to be a dean in a faculty for quite a few years now. And I just wonder about kind of your reflections on leadership in that role and kind of the takeaways and things that you've had in having a chance to do leadership in this capacity in academic medicine.
I think when I look back at the amazing opportunities I've had and the good fortune I've had in the roles that I've had, I mean, the first is the word we. I mean, you really, really don't achieve anything by yourself in leadership, and you need to focus on we. And it's way more than glib statements like there's no I in team. It really is about understanding the importance of team. Obviously, the whole get the right people on the bus. I mean, one of the challenges that I had when I came to University of Saskatchewan was that everybody was in an acting position, but that gave me a blank slate. That meant that I could recruit and did recruit widely to find the people that needed on my team. And I was able to get some great medical education leaders in key positions like Vice Dean of Education, Vice Dean of Research, and so on and so forth. So part of that is getting the right people on the bus, but then part of it is ensuring that you work as a cohesive team. You know, when we started, we actually had individual coaching for every member on the Vice Dean's team. And then we did actually some psychometric work around our strengths and weaknesses as individual leaders, but also what was the strengths and weaknesses of our team. And so in the early days of creating that leadership team, that kind of more scientific approach to developing the team was quite helpful, because immediately it was obvious that we had more introverts and extroverts on our leadership team, for example. And how did that impact things? The third aspect of that team piece, I think, is that you got to let the people do their jobs. And so I don't think I'm known as a micromanager with my team. I'm really respectful of the expertise that people bring to the team. And most of the time, the important thing for me to do is to get out of the way. Get out of the way when they're confident, and be available when they feel they need help, either with advice or resources. And so that's a balance that you strike. In academic leadership, one of our frequent failings is the overemphasis on the academics. And you actually, you know, I say all of the time, we wouldn't be here at a university without the learners. There'd be no information taught, skills or transferred, if it wasn't for the faculty. And yet none of us could do any of this without our administrators and our staff. And in academia, we often think of the first two and we diminish the role of the third. But I mean, my chief operating officer is equivalent in my mind to my vice deans. And to have the usual IT and HR and finance and all those portfolios filled with strong administrators, for me, one of the most important pieces, again, in terms of trying to allow that team to get stuff done, was to have project management expertise on my team as well. So, you know, key pieces, it's just important to fill all those administrative roles well as it is to fill the academic roles.
How do, as leaders, we try to help foster and get people to kind of perform their best?
I meet with my leaders on a regular basis, and I try to create, you know, multiple intersecting zones of communication. So we have we've got a dean's executive, then we've got a senior leadership forum. We also have department heads, and then each of those teams has their own teams, so to speak, and we try to find, make sure that those teams intersect with each other. So part of a functioning team in this place is that communication across all the people in different leadership roles, so that people don't find out that they're working at cross purposes to each other on a project or a topic. What I've seen and over the years is lots of positions get filled in our college because people see it on campus as somewhere to go to because of the way that we approach it, particularly with the administrators. So,
Preston, in your role over the many years, there's been lots of different challenges that have come up, and everyone's sick of mentioning COVID, but I feel like you and I can have a conversation that doesn't involve our experiences during COVID and some of the things that came about. So I got to work so closely with you, Preston, when, you know, there was so much change in medical education, and we kind of co-chaired a committee that eventually led to development of CanPrep, which is a tool that's now used across all learners in Canadian and even international medical education. I wanted to have a chance to talk to you kind of about that and just, you know, again, reflections on, not to bring us back to COVID necessarily, but that, like, crisis management standpoint and how I think we were able to work together, take a sticky, difficult situation and develop tools and things that are now used and continue to be used all across the world.
Fascinating, you know, discussion and there's no doubt that there's an amazing network across the country of medical education leaders. And I got to chair the Standing Committee on Education through the pandemic. And as you say, we changed match timelines, visiting electives, interviews. I mean, it went on and on and on, the different policy issues that we had to resolve. Certainly, the work we did together on developing CanPrep was one of the coolest experiences. I think you know, but I did that work. We met every day for hours for a week online. We actually had a facilitator, as you remember, that who was in Spain. The rest of us were scattered across Canada. I actually did all of those meetings in the 2-week period that we were going to visit our grandchildren, and I was on a deck in a cottage in New Brunswick because I had to isolate before I could get into New Brunswick. So, I mean, it was almost a Stockholm syndrome kind of immersion for all of us, but it was amazing. And then to do stuff that was totally new to me around some of the software tools and the design thinking that was, you know, totally new to me, but obviously our facilitator was expert in. Yeah, that was a great learning experience as well. So
on that, you know, with learner involvement and talking about learners and education, when I'm speaking to fellow learners and people who are new to leadership, I think they always wonder, you know, you're someone in a high level leadership position, have been in a long time, have all these experiences. And sometimes people wonder about, sometimes we term it little L leadership, or that, like, the day-to-day parts instead of, you know, having a formal role, or those who don't yet have formal roles. I just wonder your thoughts, Preston, around, you know, those who kind of wonder, you know, how can we best influence and kind of lead in our day-to-days as people in medicine, whether we be learners, early career staff?
You know, I remember I was the senior associate dean at Dalhousie, and Tom Mary came to be dean, and I remember watching him walk into the dean's office the very first day, and the way in which he introduced himself to everybody, and everybody was on the same plane. It was obvious with the way he was talking to them, and he immediately wanted to know about them and not just their jobs, but them, their families and other things. And so, I mean, the way that you listen is probably one of the most small L leadership things that I think we need to think about. And it's so often that we think, oh my God, there's so many crises and there's so many big decisions to make that's what the job is. But you're not nearly as effective when you make those decisions if you haven't laid this groundwork. And so, you know, if I could think of anything there, it would be listening. I mean, that's one of the, you know, the kind of management by walking about or leadership by walking about, one of the things that in some ways we lost with the pandemic. But as we all learned to do things virtually, there was sometimes when we had, because we could connect virtually in a moment's notice, I think one of the things in the pandemic was actually learning to take advantage of the technology to effectively substitute for the lost face-to-face time. But yeah, listening and genuinely listening.
How else do you think with listening, prioritizing, just other ways that we can help like foster that connection amongst our colleagues and just in medicine?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, what are the three most important characteristics of a leader? Humility, humility, humility. I think that is really, really critical. Make sure you remind yourself that you put your pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else does. The second thought I have in this regard is accountability and transparency. You know, say what you're going to do and do what you said you were going to do. And, you know, this is where then leadership does get hard, is holding the people around you accountable. And if people see that people that are close to the dean get away with things that other people don't get away with, then you've got a problem with your credibility as well as your integrity. And then, you know, linked to that is transparency. You can't have accountability without transparency, and vice versa. And I think one of my coach frequently would tell me, Preston, get out of your own head. And what she meant was that, I intended to be transparent, but sometimes I assumed people knew what I was thinking when I hadn't actually articulated it or been transparent about it. So that whole, you know, linking that transparency to accountability, I think is big part of that small L leadership.
What are different ways that you use to like keep your hand on the pulse of, you know, what's happening?
There's a number of different ways. I mean, certainly, being in connection with the leaders in the learner organizations is critical, and I meet monthly with the Student Medical Society of Saskatchewan. You know, not as frequently, but when necessary, with resident doctors of Saskatchewan. You know, going to clinic. I mean, part of the reason to being able to still practice is that it means a lot to the peers that you're actually facing the clinical challenges they do, but it's actually the one time where I actually get to interact with students and residents directly, and so again, that's a keeping your finger on the pulse. So in a province like Saskatchewan, with maybe fewer degrees of separation than other places, it's really important that your relationship with the College of Physician Surgeons, your relationship with the Saskatchewan Medical Association, in our case, you know, to be seen as having access to and a voice in the health authority, all of those are ways that I think reinforce to the people on your team the kind of roles. For Dean of Medicine, you know, the other piece is always trying to remember that you're two schools in one. You are a professional school and you're a science school. And so in our case, not forgetting the biomedical scientists and your visibility to them and the population health scientists. But in our case, physical therapy is also a program in the College of Medicine. So, you know, making sure that you remember all of your constituencies and try and be as obvious about it as possible.
Well, as we come to the end of our conversation, Preston, I wonder if you can leave our listeners with, you know, your thoughts about like the leadership needs for academic medicine for kind of 2023 and beyond. What are the things that, you know, we really need to be thoughtful about as we think of the modern faculty of medicine from a leadership perspective?
You alluded to the award before, and I just want to, you know, thank the, you know, CSPL for that. It was an amazing honor. But for me, part of the reason I'm told that I got the award was because of the number of people I've mentored. I would never have been in this job without the mentorship that I've received over the years. And so, you know, as I think we as a profession, both in academia and in clinical world, need to be a whole lot more deliberate about leadership development, about physician support of physician leaders, the importance of being mentored, and that mentorship goes both ways. I've been mentored by people in traditional thinking in a much junior position than mine, or less in age. So being able to be open to mentoring both ways, and you know, and within that, as we drive to try and change the culture of medicine to be less hierarchical you know, I think that is important, and that is also supported by that kind of mentorship that I'm describing.
Preston, thank you so much for taking time again, and always a pleasure to have a conversation with you. And I look forward to us continuing to work together in lots of different ways.
Oh, well, so do I, Victor. Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
All right, Pat, back to you.
Thanks, Victor, and thanks, Preston. That's our show for today. We hope you'll take some time to listen to these podcasts. Please subscribe to them through your favorite podcast platform or access them via the CSPL website at physicianleaders.ca. Until next time.